Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and we're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, looking at a very empty dock over... Landing Point, almost sport fishing here with a couple of great guys, Captain Adam Williams, Captain Marcus Medak from the New Loan out of Point Loma Sport Fishing, having a great time and giving away a great prize today, too, thanks to Marcus and Adam.
Yeah, you're not kidding, boy. If you didn't catch the beginning of the show, one lucky caller at the end of Let's Talk Hookup today is going fishing on board the New Loan. We're doing an overnight trip at the end of today's show to one lucky caller, a really cool prize. And again, thanks, boys, for that opportunity. If you want to get your shot at winning that great trip, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. Again, 213-432-1090. If you've got a question for Marcus, question for Adam, or shoot us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app. Lots of good texts coming through, and we'll keep them coming. We're going to be reading them as the show continues to roll on.
All right, let's find out what's biting.
You got it, man. Today, our catch report, sponsored in part by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landing, as well as your private boat catch, now with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerkied fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their famous tuna burger, and that amazing poke kit. They're all available now at their new Liberty, or their new Old Town location on Taylor Street. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Let's start off our catch report with our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge, has that fishdope.com report. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Marcus, Adam. So before I get into the fish report, I want to give you guys a little tiny bit of history based on what you were saying, Marcus, earlier about your boat being a cruise on and being built in Surfside there. Well, as a kid, I grew up right in that area. I used to watch them build those boats right there. It was just awesome. And right next to the Cruzon place, there was a place called the Pink Barrel Cafe, this little cinder block restaurant, and his specialty was cheeseburgers, and he'd flip you double or nothing anytime you wanted for your cheeseburger. A little classic Surfside history there for you.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Where exactly is Surfside, Mark?
Just, you know, right there between Huntington and Seal.
Okay.
You looked at a map where the Huntington Harbor goes under Pacific Coast Highway there by the bridge, it's just about a mile below that is where that Cruzon factory was. And I watched them build boats there for years. We had a boat in a marina about a mile below there. So, yeah, that's my old stomping ground.
I'll be darned.
They didn't build a lot of them the size of the Loan, though, did they? I've only seen pictures of one other one.
No. The vast majority of what I recall was like 35-footers. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty neat, though. But anyway, guys, pretty good setup here this past week. You know, we got the longer days, nicer weather finally, and some biting fish, just exactly what the doctor ordered here. Closer to home, right off the Long Beach and Newport Coast, yesterday that water was up to 65 degrees, kind of clean. You know, a little red tide here and there, but mostly clean. And the bass bite is really responding to that warmer water. Stuff's up splashing around a little, good fishing on the plastic, even a little bit of surface iron fish, and flyline anchovy is just an instant bite if you got that chovy or the smaller sardines, man. It's really nice to see the area starting to come alive. Conditions on the inside been definitely a little behind schedule, but with all the bait around now, next thing showing up should be that barracuda. So hopefully it makes the scene pretty soon there. Over at Catalina, now those poor sea bass, they definitely got out of phase with their traditional schedule. They're about a month late here this year for sure. The fish of the April moon showed up on the moon here in May, but right on the upswing to the dark, there's some really good fishing on the bait grounds. You know, there's some daytime fish, but mostly dark fish and some really nice ones too. A little bit of bait backside east there, but most of the bait's backside west. And a little bit of that yellowtail starting to show up again, too. They're kind of MIA for a while, but they're starting to show up here and there, too. So it looks like spring has sprung over there at Catalina. It's looking good. At San Clemente Island, those yellows over there are finally starting to get with the program a little better. There's a pretty good amount of fish that has moved into the island. A lot of it's on the front. Some's in the cove. Some's off of China there. For the most part, pretty stealthy. You know, it's hard to get a bite. A lot of times that 20-pound of small hook is the answer. But there's mixed grade fish. Smaller ones are on the front. There's some real tanker grade around the China sector out there, deeper water on that bad structure on live squid. My friends had some really big ones here the other day. And offshore, much better tuna fishing. It's just everything's kicking into gear here. A lot of those bluefins are just down below Clemente there a little bit. West wing of the butterfly, the 157 out toward the tip of the condom like that. Just a nice little spread of fish. And then there's also some showing a little bit closer to home there, that 302, 371 corner area like that. Going to keep an eye on that. It looks like some of that stuff in there is going to start to bite there. There's been some bait fish, mostly jig fish like you guys have been talking about, flatfall fish and the colt sniper fish, and even a little bit of surface iron and popper fish. So we're getting our season going, guys, man. It's time to get out there and catch something.
Yeah, and of course, fishdope.com, Danny and Jeff and the boys have had all the information you need. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com. They've got it all on fishdope.com from the Channel Islands down to the lower banks. They give you all the information and the spots and how to catch them on fishdope.com. And Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by a big Chevron station. Phone number at the store is 714-840-4262, and the website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, guys, it's looking good. There's an awful lot of fishing around, and definitely want to get out there and take advantage.
All right. Fantastic, Mark. Appreciate that very much, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
I think it's getting better and better, Pete. We're going to have a good report next week.
We're going to have a great week of weather. I pretty much can guarantee it, right?
I think it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mark.
While we're waiting for our buddy Marcos from C4 Sport Fishing, we had a great text come through for the boys. Would you please explain how to rig the sinker rig to fish for bluefin? I'm curious on how you attach the sinker. Do you leave the reel in free spool? And what's the best way to hook the bait? No name on that one, but it was a good question, so we're reading it anyways.
All right.
With the sinker rig, at least what we've kind of experienced is working the water column. Also, having that marked line, your depth marked out on your line can be very, very helpful.
How do you've seen always, I'm sure. What's the best way to do that? Just a Sharpie? I mean, run it up 100 feet? Like, what, do you tie a little piece to the line? Like, what do you, I'm sure you guys have seen all fashions, both right, successful and not. What do you think the best or easiest, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think probably the easiest is to use, collared line,
sure,
like you were talking about
the
earlier.
Depth hunter offshore, yeah.
Right, or something similar.
Like that.
There's a few others like that. That's probably the easiest. The other, I mean, we used to in the old days, you could do it sort of like your salmon fishing. You can do pulls, sort of, where you pull a foot off at a time, mm-hmm, and do that the first time. That will get you, you know, in the vicinity, mm-hmm, and then you can either mark it with a Sharpie, or at least you can tell pretty much where you are, get a real good idea. And like Adam said earlier, I think it's real important to sort of work the water column. And what he means by that is you get significantly more bites as your bait is either slowly sinking or coming up through the water column. I think your odds of bumping into a fish are better that way, and it's got a little bit more action. So you want to slowly drop it down to the depth where you think the fish are, or even a little bit past it. And what I advise a lot of guys to do is put it in gear, in low gear, and just slowly wind it back up. Not real fast, not like you're burning a yo-yo jig or anything, but just
working slow and
steady.
Fish it.
And they'll eat it on the grind?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. On the slow wind. So.
On the slow wind.
Put
that's key, right?
Gear.
Yeah.
Real
slowly.
And what about hooking the bait?
Through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Always through the nose. Anytime you're fishing a sinker, you have to hook it through the nose.
Yeah.
Circle hook, J hook, do you guys have a preference?
Circle for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And have your line minimum 60.
Minimum 60.
I would.
Just because.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you,
depends. What
it depends.
Size
it depends.
Are,
you know. Yeah, sometimes I never have any hard and fast rules.
Okay.
Because, you know, you can have good fishing on 30 and 40 pounders with sinkers as well, but it tends to be, you know,
a little lighter setup,
smaller sinker. But, you know, if there's big ones around, for sure, at least 60 or 80.
Okay.
You just have to get them
in the dark, heavier.
Go heavy.
And yeah. A lot of the reason for the lighter line in general is just so that your bait fishes better and looks better and pulls line off the reel better. And with the sinker rig, the sinker is doing all that pulling the line off. Is that fair to say that you're not?
That is fair to say. But at nighttime, I mean, as Adam alluded to earlier, at nighttime it's critical to use that heavier gear because we just, you know, our the odds of hooking a bigger one are way better at night. And even if your bait doesn't look quite as good, and they certainly have a tougher time seeing the line at night, you know, your odds of you know, you're going to get a bite on 130 pound as well as you will on 30 pound.
Right.
Doesn't matter at night.
It doesn't
They're
matter.
Not going to see it.
It's not giving you any advantage to fish light.
It's only
line,
a
so
disadvantage.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, only that's a good. It's only a disadvantage. All right, hey, a good question. Let's go ahead and jump into the phones.
Why don't we continue with our catch report and find out what's going on down at C4 Sport Fishing?
Marcos.
Our buddy Marcos is standing by. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing great. What's going on there at C4?
A little bit of fishing going on, you know, as you would expect at this point in the season. The half-day trips, very good fishing on there. So catching some bottom fishing, having some very good calico bass fishing in the afternoon. And they kept 56 yesterday, released a ton of them. Day before that, they had 33 calico bass, 36 the day before that. So definitely picking up a bit. They've seen a little bit of yellowtail here and there, but no real numbers yet to speak of. The San Diego fishing offshore looking around, very good yellowtail fishing throughout the week, some big bonita in the mix. And then yesterday, 30 bluefin on the boat there for the guys there, in addition to 74 yellowtail. So a great full-day trip. And talking on the deckhand this morning, he said those fish are in the 30 to 50 pound range, most of those are around that 40 pound range there. So that's some really good full day fishing. And he said, make sure you have some heavy gear there, 40 pound and up. Sounds like it's a mix of those flat falls, the cold snipers, some sinker rigs on there, a little bit of fly line fish, a nice mix of fishing going on there. And I mean, 30 bluefin on a full day is a spectacular count. In addition to all that yellowtail, the one day, day and a half, seeing lots of bluefin on there, bluefin and yellowtail also. The Tribute called in this morning, and they got off to an early start. They had six bluefin on the boat. That was about an hour ago. So very good fishing on there. And same thing there, some heavier gear there, those flat falls, those cold snipers. And today he said there's actually a nice mix of fly line fish on the Tribute trip there, too. So definitely check the website, c4thlanding.com. Got the schedule up there for all of those trips, those half days, the full days, one day, day and a half, and we're starting to put more and more of those trips online, but they are still filling quick, so definitely make your reservations ahead of time. You can always give us a call at the office here, 619-224-3383. Guys, we'd be more than happy to help you out, get you on a trip there, and get you out fishing, because fishing's pretty good right now.
Right on, Marcos. Well, that sounds great. Good fishing both from local all the way on out to the longer trips. We appreciate a great report. And, boy, with good weather in the forecast, we're just we're ready to continue to watch it rolling along. Appreciate the report very much, Marcos. And we'll look forward to talking next week.
Talk to you then, guys.
All right, Marcos. Hey, well, with that, we've got a bonus to our catch report. Captain Bill Cavanaugh, the Intrepid's on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Rick. How you doing?
We're doing
great. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, morning, Pete. Yeah, I just wanted to call in with a report. We're on a three-day trip here. We left on Thursday afternoon, and we got out on the grounds in the afternoon, had a little sign of fish late in the day. Pretty nice one in the dark. We got like an 85-pounder, and then we got on a school at 3 a.m. They wanted to bite, and it was like, here we go. Suit up, everybody. They're biting. Let's go. And we had about a 2.5-hour window where it was pretty much wide open on 40 to 60 pounders. It was, and we had a really, really good night bite and did really well. We scratched a little bit in the morning once the sun came up, and when it all played out, we ended up having our daily limits of bluefin tuna for 26 people on board. So we had 52 bluefin for the day that were between 40 and 80 pounds. And we had a really good day on the water. I just wanted to check in with that report. Cool. That was yesterday. Late afternoon yesterday, I really didn't see much in the way of sign, we didn't really see too much of that fish. So I changed zones. For today, this is going to be our last fishing day of this three-day trip. And we're down here in calm weather in hopes of finding that bigger fish that kind of went missing. And we've seen a little bit of bluefin so far. We haven't caught any, but that's it so far for this trip. And the other thing I wanted to touch on with this report is the technique that we've been using when we've had these night bites is kind of the technique that we've been using that has worked best for us is we're fishing straight 100-pound. We're fishing 300-gram flat falls and 300-gram Daiwa SK jigs. And the technique that we're using is we're pretty much just fishing the sink. We're trying to get that jig down as fast as we can with the leaf. I mean, you're just fishing the sink. So when that stuff started biting for us the other night, I grabbed my rig and I went up on the bow. I wanted to see how the stuff was going to respond, and that's the technique that I was using that worked the best for us. I think I hooked 8 fish in a row. And it was just all on the sink. So I'd drop it down as fast as I could, and as soon as it stopped, I'd put it in gear and start winding to get that line tight. If the fish wasn't there, if it just, like, smacked it and it didn't stick, I'd just kick it out of gear and start dropping the jig back. And that's the technique we've been using, and it's been pretty deadly on those night bites.
Wow. So straight hunt, trying straight to 100-pound then.
Straight 100-pound. We're putting leaders on there because you get a bigger fish with the larger teeth, and you want to have the chafe resistance. So we're rigging them up with 200-pound leader material to our 100-pound outfit, and when they're in that mode and they're biting good in the dark, that, you know, fishing it on the sink has been the best technique for sure.
There's definitely a level of confidence when you hook a fish on 100-pound too. It's a whole lot nicer than hooking one on 40-pound.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But anyhow, yeah, it was good, man. It was kind of crazy. 40 to 60-pounders, everybody's getting hooked up on 100-pound, and it was kind of chaotic, to say the least. But, man, it was good fishing. There's definitely some really, really good opportunities to be had. This is, I think this is the third really good night bite we've had in the last couple weeks. And, man, when they get in that mode, it's really something else, man. It's every single drop. They just go into a completely different biting mode at night like that, and it's really, really fun.
Oh, sounds great. Well, Bill Cavanaugh, Captain Bill Cavanaugh on the Intrepid, we sure appreciate the report live on the water. How many days do you have left?
This is our last fishing day, and like I say, we're looking here. We're down here by ourselves. We just want to look at some different water. There's that bigger fish that was down here a few weeks ago, that 70 to 140-pound fish. We had some cows mixed in with it, and it's, you know, I think one of the guys was down here a few days ago that saw a little sign of it. They never got a bite, but we're down here looking for that fish now. We're looking at kelps along the way. We had a kelp patty for 15 yellowtail to start our morning, and we're down here looking. Hopefully we find that bigger fish today.
Gotta love it.
Awesome.
Man, fish are biting.
Good luck down there.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the report from the Intrepid. Sure appreciate your calls.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our catch report today. Again, Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro Series, the custom bluefin and yellowfin from Anza Knives, made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and they're easy to sharpen. Anza Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details and get that Fish Pro Series available at Fisherman's Processing. Again, if you want to get through on the phones, it's been a very busy morning this morning, 213-432-1090.
All right, let's jump into it, Rick.
You got it. We're going to talk to Paul, who's calling us from Bellflower this morning. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
hello.
Paul.
Hello. Okay, great. Okay, my question is to Marcus and Adam. How did you originally get the opportunity to purchase the new Lowan?
Well, I think Pete mentioned earlier, I had been working on the Royal Star for a long time, and eventually I got to the point where I, you know, wanted to start doing my own thing, and talked to Tim and Randy. They owned the boat at the time, just like they still do, and we heard about the new Lowan being for sale. And they were actually my partners for the first 3 years. So they helped me out immensely by being able to help me out getting me into it. And after 3 years, I ended up buying them out. And I owned it on my own up until last year when, you know, we've had a, Adam and I have had a great working relationship here. And so I think, you know, nobody can really put your heart and soul into it unless you're personally invested. I really believe that. And so we made it possible where he could be in that position. So
awesome.
Those guys helped me out, and I would say, you know, I made it so it was not too terribly difficult for him to get in a similar sort of position.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And
now I'm getting more gray hairs. And
yeah, you get the gray hairs, right?
Seems like such a good idea at the
now
time.
Now he can't get off the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you've been in maintenance for so long, too, right?
Yep.
That's what you get for working hard and kicking ass. Now you're right. Now you got nowhere to go.
Yeah, but I'll bet you're anxious to get back fishing, though.
Yeah, we're actually launching Wednesday, we believe.
That's
awesome. We're crossing our fingers. We're
back in the
doing
water.
Some gloss paint. I'm actually going to go right from here and do some painting when we get out
of
here.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab the bait tank out of the parking lot.
Oh, is that your bait tank in the parking lot?
Yeah, it is. Point Loma Sportsman.
Okay, yeah, I saw that. That's your bait tank. All right. Very good. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, we had a great text come through. Speaking of your time on the Royal Star, it's a very quick one. I just want to tell Captain Marcus thanks for gaffing my 68-pound yellowtail on the Royal Star. That was from Ed in San Gabriel.
Wow. Very cool. That's a good one there.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah, probably Alejos, I'm guessing, right?
Or the loop.
Oh, it could be the loop, too, yeah.
68.
I think it was Alejos.
Was it Alejos? Yeah.
I don't know. That was a long time 68 ago.
68 pounds is a lot of yellowtail.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That's a lot of yellowtail.
Hey, speaking of yellowtail, I want to be sure to remind you to check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Yellowtail is in the paper, both locally and out on the Outer Banks, as well as at the islands, too. They're back at Clemente and Catalina and such, too. So they have all that. Of course, Sierra trout action and a lot more. Check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News.
All right. Well, the phones are packed. We're going to jump back into them and talk to Dan, who's calling us from West Covina this morning. What's up, Dan? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. It was really cool to hear about the Laredo Rumble trip that you guys recently were on, and it's making me look forward to the trip that's coming up for me and my friends later this month. So that was encouraging to hear that the water's turning for the better out there. With the yellowtail you guys were catching out there, was that off of Carmen Island, or where were you getting them?
Most of us fished for the first 2 days. The tournament was actually Monday, Tuesday, and pretty much everybody was either fishing Coronado Island, which is that island closer, and then Carmen Island, which is the big one right off of Laredo on the backside, out around the corner on the other side of Punta Lobo, so south side of the island there, along there, and it was just loaded with bait, and... Not the most fun way to fish it. Of course, you know, my fishing partner Steve and I took, like, mountains of jigs, like pounds and pounds of yo-yo and flat falls and everything. They wouldn't touch a jig. I mean, there was just too much water. We tried and tried, just couldn't get them to eat the jig. It was slow-trolled mackerel with a very long leader on a sinker rig, like a 12-ounce sinker, just slow-trolling those, and that's what they were eating. That was pretty much the way they were eating it. There was smaller fish. If you want to catch a bigger one. If you want to catch, like, you know, 10-pounders, 8-pounders. There was a little bit of surface iron action, but that was mostly the smaller fish. But tournament winners were pretty much, that's, you know, not, like I say, not the most exciting way to fish. But, and I got to tell you, those Laredo yellowtail pull hard, and they know where those rocks are, too, because you had to get on them.
Yeah, they're very well tuned to that.
Yeah, especially when you're fishing that deep water there. They're that much closer to the rock, and it doesn't take long to get the rock down there, too. But that was it. And then the last day, we actually spent the day fishing Cabrilla, all on jigs, 100% on jigs, and that was a blast. I mean, again, a lot of bait, but we ended up with 8 Cabrilla up to 10 pounds, and that was and I lost.
That's nice.
You know, 4 big ones on the rocks.
You lost half of that pile you brought
down? Yeah, I lost a lot of Colt Sniper stick baits. Yeah, they won.
wanted to eat that Colt Sniper. That 170 Colt Sniper stick bait. Cool. Oh, my gosh. They wanted to eat that thing for sure. But, yeah, a lot of fun. And the weather was absolutely epic. Just flat, calm, just gorgeous.
That sounds great. I'm hoping that maybe the Dorado will show up by the end of May, too, because they were talking about, like, June and on is when the Dorado should show up down there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's already a lot of Sargasso in the water, and our guy said by the end of the month, he said he's thinking that the Dorado are going to be there. So.
Yeah. Excellent.
The water was
well,
cold,
I look forward
though.
To it.
I went scuba diving on Sunday. We went in a day early to go scuba diving, and the water was cold. It was 68 on the bottom, which at like 60 feet, which is... It's a little chilly for down there, but I think maybe 70 on the surface, something like that. So a little cooler than normal, but I think it's that the weather changes very rapidly down there. So good luck. Hope
Where
you
did
have
you
a great
snorkel?
Trip.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, we went with a company called Blue Nation. Really good outfit. They're right there. They have a good website, too. But Blue Nation, and they have snorkel trips as well as scuba trips. And excellent equipment, excellent boat, really nice couple that run the operation. So I would not hesitate to recommend them.
And they're located right near the marina?
Well, they're actually right near the big market there, the Pescador Market.
Oh, okay.
Right around the corner from the Pescador. But we booked everything online and did everything by email with them, and they were really good at corresponding, too. So just Blue Nation Diving in Loretto. Yeah.
Sounds
All right,
fun.
Have fun. Yeah. Have a great trip. Thanks.
Thank
for
you.
Call.
Hey, another great text came through. This one said, for Adam, I went with you guys last year, and I finally knocked off my triple-digit trophy. I want to book another trip for big trophy bluefins. If you could pick, what's the best day?
Which day, Adam?
He means that length of trip, like how long a trip, and what time of year would you do to maximize his chances for a trophy bluefin?
I was going to say I like Wednesdays, but, you know. hard to say. I think this last few years, October, we've had some really, really good bluefin fishing later in the season, even November sometimes on those larger grade ones. We're pretty booked up, so that might be tough to get on the boat at that time.
October. Yeah.
I think we're pretty much
sold out. Wow.
Yep. We're all chartered up. But even earlier in the season last year, we had some good opportunities, July, August. So maybe sooner than later.
There were great shots in June, too.
They really were.
I remember last year, I mean, there was some really good big fish fishing in June.
We had some pretty epic overnight trips, even where we were catching 20 to 30 of those larger size ones.
Yeah.
So earlier in the season, I think this year might even be a good call. So
okay. You know,
on a Wednesday.
We're kind of spoiled here. What is, in your eyes, Adam, a larger size bluefin?
I'd say 100 plus.
Okay. I just want to make sure, you know, because 100-pound fish is like, that's a big fish.
Right.
A lot of people are like, well, no, I don't mean 100-pound. I mean 200-pound fish. But,
right.
Yeah.
No,
but
100-pounder is a nice one.
That's
always
a big one. Yeah.
Always will be.
We'll take 100-pounders any time, right?
Yeah. Always a good
for sure.
One.
But we've been spoiled.
Yes.
Yeah,
we have been.
Yeah.
It's still a good one.
Yeah, it's still a good one.
When you think if you just went back as little as 5 years ago and you caught an 80-pound bluefin tuna, that was a huge deal. And now, you know, we joke about all the time in the tackle store, somebody will come back, hey, how was your trip? Oh, sorry, we didn't get any big ones. I had an 80-pounder.
But yeah, like, right.
It was not long ago that fish didn't even exist, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. Hey, let's find out what's going on. We got more good info going on. Our buddy Scott Sherman's on the line. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Yeah, we're hanging in there. Good day of fishing for the bottom critters yesterday. Got my personal best lingcod yesterday at 14.9 pounds. It was nice.
That's a big one, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, it was big enough I could stand a Coke can up straight up and down inside its mouth, so it was a pretty good sized fish.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I had a quick question for your guest there. When you're fishing the flat fall on that kind of stuff at night, are you guys heavy chumming to keep them in the area, or are you just looking at the meter and dropping down into the column?
A little bit of both. Kind of depends.
Yeah, it depends. Just like anything.
A lot of times they're really deep, so kind of feel like chum it a bunch doesn't make a difference. hard to say, though.
Most of the time, not using that much chum. Sometimes, though, when they start sticking with you, and if you hook a bunch of them, it seems like they follow each other up, and you start seeing them a lot shallower on the machines. We sometimes will throw quite a bit of bait at that point.
Hmm. At night?
At night.
Wow.
Just in hopes of getting them to stick a little bit longer.
It does. Mm-hmm. At times. Sometimes. Most of the time, it makes no difference, I'm firmly convinced. But there are times when it does.
Sure it does. All right. So it's all situational. It's all situational.
99%
of, just like all fishing.
Yeah.
30% of the time it works every time.
Yes.
All right.
That's good to know. Being on a private boat, sometimes your chum capacity is limited. So knowing that it doesn't always take a lot of chum will help.
Don't need to. There are times when it may help, but you don't need to.
All right. Hope that helps you out. Hey, congratulations on your nice link card there, Scott. Appreciate the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
If you're looking for a high-quality cocktail that's also easy to enjoy on your next fishing trip, check out Cutwater Spirits' lineup of canned cocktails. Cutwater's master distiller and co-founder, Yusuf Cherney, is a hardcore fisherman. In fact, he developed Cutwater with all his favorite adventures in mind. Yusuf takes Cutwater's award-winning spirits, uses them to make real cocktails, and then puts them into cans so you can take them anywhere. It's like they were made for fishing because they were actually made for fishing. Check out their popular canned margarita made with real tequila, the zest the vodka mule, or the spicy Bloody Mary, which has some serious bite. They also make super refreshing vodka sodas in grapefruit, lime, and cucumber flavors. Just crack the can and enjoy a bar-quality cocktail even when there's no bar in sight. Back at the dock or at your evening anchorage in Catalina, Cutwater cocktails are exactly what you need for your next fishing trip. You can check out all 18 of Cutwater's canned cocktails at CutwaterSpirits.com and then look for them at your local liquor store. Then go ahead and set your cocktail free. Please enjoy responsibly.
Are you looking for an ultimate fishing destination? Well, look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris Lodge in British Columbia. This is Valerie Helbridge. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure, but few of the highlights in fishing with us is the protected, calm, pristine waters for quality Chinook salmon all season. After you get your limits of salmon, Queen Charlotte Safaris will take you in our comfortable covered heated jet boat to our halibut, lingcod, and rock fishing areas, and we have larger retention than Alaska. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sunspit, and it's so easy to get to. You fly from almost anywhere from the United States and Canada into Vancouver, then a short flight directly to Sunspit. Our trips are all-inclusive, full days of fishing, custom processing, fishing license, and all your gear is provided. Let our expert chefs pamper you with amazing meals. Our staff delivers wonderful hospitality, all in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. So call me at 1-877-815-2892 or qcsafaris.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
It's time to go fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The perfect rod to handle the toughest fish is Shimano Terramar. The secret? TC4 blank construction with Tech Tape outer wrap to shield the fibers from the impact damage. Make sure to match your Shimano Terramar rod with a Shimano Tranx 500. X-Ship and HEG technologies combine to provide the Shimano Tranx massive cranking power with a smooth and effortless retrieve. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will maximize your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day, full-day, and open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Hey, this is Rosie with Sadra Sport Fishing, and now also La Bacana Sport Fishing. From world-class yellowtail and calicos at Cedros to grouper and estuary fishing at La Bacana. Our Cedros Lodge is nestled on the cliff's edge, and the bungalows at La Bacana are within steps to the Pacific Ocean. Both trips depart through the CBX in San Diego, and the flights are direct. Two awesome destinations with the same great service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here talking fishing on the new Loanne and a Point Loma Sport Fishing, and a great show going on, man.
You know, I should mention program details here. You know, we had originally listed Tim Ekstrom being on today and Marcus and Adam being on tomorrow. Well, we flip-flopped. Tim's going to be on tomorrow, and, of course, Adam and Marcus are here. Thank you guys for flip-flopping. And the reason for that is because his two star athlete son and daughter, Charlie, was in the championship volleyball tournament yesterday on ESPN. It was broadcast on ESPN, the beach volleyball tournament. Then his son, Duke, is playing at Petco Park today. So, and I wonder if he's pitching.
I would bet so.
I would bet so, yeah. But he's got a couple of star athletes there, and that's the reason. So we'll get the full blow-by-blow details tomorrow when Captain Tim Ekstrom will be right here in the world headquarters for us tomorrow. So that's why you're hearing kind of a little change of programming there. But great to have these two guys here for sure, and good luck to Duke today at Petco Park for sure. Well, let's go ahead and jump back on the phones.
You got it, buddy. How about this time we talk to Jonathan? He's calling us from Chula Vista this morning. What's up, Jonathan? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Thanks for having me. My question's on those cold snipers for these bluefin out. But how are you guys straight tying those cold snipers, and how are we working them? Are we working them on a slow wind, or kind of like a yo-yo jig?
I think almost like a yo-yo jig a lot of the time, especially during the day. I know a lot of the guys who we have coming out during the day, I think 60-pound fluorocarbon, 80-pound fluorocarbon, kind of depends on the size of the fish. And I know a lot of the guys change the hooks out on those Colt snipers also to a different style J hook. Rick might know better what.
Yeah,
hook
real,
exactly.
Real common are those like a heavier duty version of a bait style hook, like that Gamakatsu Octopus 4 extra strong hook, an Aki Twist, you know, something like that. Even a small 7691, like a 5.0, they're kind of tough to find. But yeah, like a heavy duty version of a bait hook. But my favorite is that Gamakatsu Octopus 4 extra strong, like in a 7.0 size.
Carl at from Fisherman's Landing said he had a limit of bluefin tuna on the Shogun yesterday, fishing that 80-gram Colt sniper. So they're biting it, huh?
They bite them. They work well.
That's a good one.
But you do absolutely have to upgrade the hooks. I mean, the treble hooks that come with them are not – they're not good for the kind of fishing we're doing.
So, question, if you switch it out to a single hook, does it change the action? Is it not going to be – bit as well?
No, they bite them just fine.
Just fine.
Sure seems like
they
it.
Bite them just fine.
Not
it,
a problem.
It works. No. And there's a lot of different. In fact, we were just talking with Rick there about the various options. What I've also seen guys do is just put like a single assist style hook on there, and I've seen that work well also.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, to keep throwing other options at you, we've got a couple of our boats that really like to keep a treble hook on it, but a much heavier duty version of it. You know, the same treble hook that we fish, you know, those yummy flyers with, that ST66, just a greatly scaled down version, you know, of appropriate size, but a super beefy one. And, again, I've seen all of them work and all of them fail, too. But I think the most important thing, like Marcus says, is it's got to be upgraded.
Do you need to also change the slip ring out?
Do you need to? Probably not, but why wouldn't you? You know, it's one of those things that it's going to cost you an extra dollar, and it'll eliminate the factor of that knot. You know, I think most often the split ring that comes on that thing is not going to fail with the amount of drag pressure that you're putting on one of those things, but I would. I mean, I just don't. It's such an easy, quick thing. Just why wouldn't you do it all the way right instead of 80%?
Okay.
You have to open the split ring anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Well do it.
Which
you're
is a daunting task.
Yeah, you're
that's
you're
the
that
irritating
close.
Part of it. So.
Yeah,
you might as well.
Absolutely.
That's how I feel, too.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Good information.
Totally. Well, on the subject of rigging flat falls. We had yet another one. This was from Mike in Torrance. Okay, yet another flat fall question for the boys. Have you ever thought about rigging flat falls with wire? I have older Wahoo wire, but I don't ever hear people talking about it.
I don't think it's necessary. I've seen a couple guys do it, but I don't think it's necessary.
Unless you're going to use them for Wahoo, I don't really see the point.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be as strong as if you fish it with 100-pound fluorocarbon, right?
And I don't think you're going to get as many bites either. Yeah. I mean, you could probably catch Wahoo on them. I bet they would work well for that,
yeah.
Probably. I've never tried it or really heard of guys doing it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it worked.
Sure.
Say at least 130 on your flat fall leader or whatever heavy jig. I know Bill was talking about those SK jigs. Those work pretty good. We've had good luck with those also, but a heavier leader, don't think wire is necessary. Personal preference.
Yeah. And always fluorocarbon?
Not always.
No?
As long as it's heavy.
Okay.
130, 200 pounds, something like that.
You're, at that point, you're not. At that point, you're definitely not using fluorocarbon for the stealthy. It's not as visible in the water. The whole reason you're putting that bite leader on is just for that, for better abrasion resistance. Most of the time, when they eat a flat fall, they swallow it. It ends up in the back of their throat. And bluefin for sure have a gnarlier set of teeth on them than most of the other tuna, and they're so notorious for shaking their head and chewing you off. So the whole reason for the leader is just to avoid getting chewed off. And fluorocarbon is just a much harder material than monofilament. Mm-hmm. It does better amongst abrasion. So yeah, you're not using fluoro because it's less visible. It's just an even harder material than mono is. With that said,
it is less visible.
Yeah.
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 So why not use it?
And
right?
It makes me feel better,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I agree.
You know.
Even heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Dark or whatever.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the same thing. Why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? It's not it's just not that much more, and you put all this time and effort, and this is your trip, and you've been waiting all year, and this is where all your side rat hole money went to, is going on this big trip. It's
what's 10 more bucks?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. You know, we talk about all the time, like, that's probably the thing we sell the most of at nighttime. That's the one problem, is buying a coil of 200-pound fluorocarbon. It's expensive, you know. You can buy a spool of 20-pound for $20. Well, a spool of 200 is a whole lot more than that. But we sell a pre-made flat fall leader, basically, that's just, you know, a 2-foot section, a 200-pound fluoro with a really heavy-duty split ring crimped onto one end and a swivel crimped onto the other end. And a guy can just split ring it right onto his flat fall. And, yeah, they're $10-$15,
easy.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go ahead and jump back into it.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Roger? Roger's calling us from San Marino this morning. What's up, Roger? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to ask the captains, when you fish for finicky fish like bluefin and YC bass, do you like to turn off your engine, and have you found that to be to make a difference on catching these finicky fish?
Oh, Marcus.
Well, you know, I don't have a ton of experience with white sea bass, but yes, I think for white sea bass, the quieter you are, the better. You know, on a sport boat, we're stuck having to run our generator all of the time, and when they're biting, it doesn't seem to make that big of a difference. But I think there are times for sure where you'd be better off if you were able
being
to be
stealthy.
Totally quiet.
Yeah.
And so, but for us, that's not really an option. As far as fishing offshore for bluefin and stuff, they are very, very aware of the boat. There's no doubt about that. You can watch them on the sonar and watch how they slowly turn away from you a lot of times when we're trying to sneak up on a spot. I'm not convinced it's just the noise. I think that a lot of what they're feeling is through their lateral line, just the, you know, the displacement of the water. Because we see a lot of times where a bigger boat will have when they're in a certain mode, a bigger boat will have a real tough time getting into the middle of a school or close to it. They'll just turn away from us, but I'll see smaller boats, skiffs, you know, and they can be running with their engines wide open and stop right in the middle of them, and it doesn't seem to bother them as much. So I think it's I really think it's less the actual noise than the water displacement that's bothering them. That being said, there are times when less noise is definitely better. And, you know, I've tried shutting the engines off and coasting into them and stuff, and it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of difference.
So here's one that I've often thought of, is what about the sonar and the noise that the sonar is making underwater?
I don't think that bothers
them. Is there any factor there?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think so. I've
definitely makes some noise underwater.
Yeah.
Well, it does. I mean, you can hear it. I mean, if you're on the sonar at the dock, you go down to the bunk room, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, especially the sonars and fathometers that we have nowadays. A lot of those put a lot of energy in the water.
Yeah.
But
we're not turning those things off.
No.
Yeah.
No, and I don't think that matters. I haven't seen where it seems like that matters.
Okay. All right. Hey, good question. Thanks a lot for the call.
That's perfect. All right. How about we jump back into them and talk to Sam, who's calling us from Irvine this morning. Hi, Sam. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Glad I got in. Hey, great show. I love that about the new low end. You guys catch a lot of fish. Been on it quite a few times. But, you know, I was looking. I know don't if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I was looking at the flat side jigs, and I bought a bunch of them, kind of the heavier ones. Has anybody fished those? I'm just interested in them. And I was going to rig
certainly
some
a
up.
Great jig and another good option. It's like so under the Shimano, like under the Butterfly name is like the main name for all of their vertical style jigs. The flat fall is the one that's been the most popular, but they make another one called a flat side that is almost like a cross between the original Butterfly jigs that came out that we you know like for Yellowtail and this, and it's just yet another option that works equally as well.
Sure.
We say it all the time. I think the very most important thing about fishing a flatfall is being lucky enough to have your lure sinking in front of a hungry bluefin.
Yeah.
And but they're a good size and a good option and exactly the same. You'll want to change it out to appropriate hooks and things like that. But yeah, those Shimano flat side jigs, just another good option of the same thing.
And then the other ones, the new Sea Falcon. Mm-hmm. Those are handmade Japanese style, really cool. They're totally different shaped than like the standard flat fall or even the Daiwas or something like that, and something different in front of them could get bit.
We had we had a guy buy every color of that Z Slow Sea Falcon jig last night. You know, I mean, like every one. He had just heard you talking about him last time, but bought every one of the different colors that they had in that 300, big one, that 300.
We'll see if he catches them.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a tremendous variety of those Japanese slow pitch style jigs.
Right.
They're not super widely available on the market here, but, you know, sometimes people will bring them from Japan, and a lot of them work. And
work really, really well.
Yeah.
And they are different than what everyone else is using.
Totally.
And so don't be afraid to experiment, I guess, you know. And if you have a trip going to Asia, I would definitely stop by in one of the tackle shops, and a lot of the stuff that they've got there works just as well on this side of the ocean as it does over there.
They innovate a lot of that.
They do.
That jig fishing, that slow pitch jig fishing. That's kind of their thing.
No, that's right. Japan and Thailand, it's very popular there, and it's been popular there for a long time. So there's a lot more variety available there than there is here. I mean, I think we're probably 10 or 15 years behind where they are now. So,
a lot available. And that's what's so cool about that new addition to that Sea Falcon is it's a totally different style jig. But it's going to, you know, get them in the water, see if they work.
That's it.
Yeah, and I guess they're working.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Again, you put one of those things in front of a hungry fish, you got a good shot of getting a bite.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, very good. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, let's jump back in and talk to Joe. Joe's calling us from San Pedro this morning. Hey, Joe, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as usual. You know, all this talk about the tuna fishing at night, I was wondering, we spend so much time making sure these flat falls are glowing. We're bringing them back up to the deck with the flashlight. Is there a better chance of just leaving it in the bite zone? You know, we're taking that bait out of the bite zone. If we would have just left it there, maybe we would have got something. What would you say the significance of that flat fall glowing, and what ratio of fish do you think you catch it glowing and not glowing? Those are my questions.
I haven't done the statistics on it, but I do think that you get more bites if you have a glowing jig. I think you get a lot of bites on the fall, on the sink, as Bill was talking about earlier, but we do get a fair amount of bites on the wind as well. And so I really don't think, you know, the whole time you're winding your jig up, up until you get right under the boat, you got a chance of getting a bite. You're not really completely bringing it out of the bite zone. Even if, for the most part, they're hanging deeper, you'll sometimes, on the fathometer, you can watch a fish come up from a couple hundred feet of the boat and head up towards, you know, 40 or 50 feet beneath the boat. And most likely, he sees a jig up there, and he's mm-hmm. chasing it up. So I don't think you're really bringing it, unless you're hanging out for 10 minutes trying to get your jig to glow again, which if you've got one of the little black lights, you can do it really, really fast.
Does it work?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It makes them glow. I mean, at least for me, we have our crew rods sitting on the side. I never light it up with the flashlight. Still get bit.
Still get bit. Yeah. They're still glowing when you get them in the dark.
I think so. You got all the deck lights, you know, like.
Right, yeah. But when you've had it down at depth, if you bring it up and throw it on there, it certainly doesn't
goes
hurt.
Boom.
And I'm sure, right. again, too, I bet a lot of it is the Mexican flag albacore factor and the orange and black marauder factor. I mean, 90% of the people are fishing a glow one, and if you had a green one that wasn't a glow, but that's all you fished, it would probably get bit just fine, too.
I mean, we catch fish at night on non-glow right. style jigs, for sure.
Those but fish have good eyes. At
they have really good eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, we catch them on just plain chrome jigs or whatever at night, sure, and they bite them.
Don't forget the 6X Junior.
Right? 6X Junior chrome, right?
During
yeah,
the day,
blue and white.
During the day, yeah.
Yeah. Even blue and white, you know?
Okay.
We've caught a lot of bluefin on blue and white 6Xs and stuff.
Oh.
We've got some of those right now, too, which are not easy to come
yeah.
by.
Yeah. Hot tip.
But I do think your odds are better with a glowing lure and, light is a great attractant for tuna. It is.
Yet again, our common theme,
right.
you know, why wouldn't you?
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
If you can,
right. all the odds
you
in
know,
favor.
Yeah.
Hey, when we
the
come
vast
back.
Majority of tuna longliners around the world put either light stakes or glow beads on their leaders, and they're investing tens of thousands of dollars in that stuff, and it's because their catches are better.
Yes.
There you go. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on the new Lowhead. We're giving away a trip when we return. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on that Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Rock Cod Rick here for West Coast Marine and Parker Boats. You see them all over Southern California waters. Parker Boats of the Launch Ramp, the offshore islands. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all size fishing in the same area as the Sporty. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. Of all the boats out there, my boat partner and I chose to get a brand new 25 Parker center console from Kevin Kelly and the gang at West Coast Marine, and I could not be happier. Wow, what a fishing machine. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's why so many 4 and 6 pack charters choose to operate Parkers. We thank the guys at Pinnacle Sport Fishing, Season Sport Fishing, One Man Charters, Black and Blue Sport Fishing for their confidence in Parker boats. Take it from me, if you are ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Give up on finicky fish and light bites. The secret to getting more bites is thinner leader for more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label Leader Material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. 18% thinner and 17% stronger than any other Seaguar leader. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader shy fish. With exceptional knot and tensile strength, this advanced leader material has been proven all season long on finicky tuna as big as 100 pounds on 40-pound tests. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time to find out the big winner going fishing on an overnight trip on the new Loanne at a Point Loma Sport Fishing. Congratulations, Dan in West Covina. You're going to absolutely love fishing on that boat, buddy.
Yeah, and you're going to get them with
a lot of room to put your fish now.
Yeah, Captain Marcus, Captain Adam. Hey, so boat's back in service when?
Memorial Day weekend is going to be our first trip.
All right, and then do you have openings in June?
We have quite a few openings in June, yeah. And then we've got a full day and a half schedule, some overnight trips in June.
And where do we find that?
Either Point Loma Sport Fishing or NewLoannSportFishing.com.
Okay, PointLomaSportFishing.com or NewLoann, L-O-A-N,
yep.
.com.
Or just call Point Loma Sport Fishing Landing, 619-223-1627. They can help you out.
All right. Great show, guys.
Yeah,
thanks
awesome.
Very much. And thanks for Christian, the man in the board there. And thanks to Adam for all he does on the app. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star will be here. And we'll be right back here tomorrow morning, 7 to 9, right back here on the Mightier 1090. And, of course, the Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll see you then.